It's that time where I get to say, it's that time. Arthur Schwartz, the food mensch. Here he is, ladies and gentlemen.
Ta-da! Here I am.
So I was going to say something. I needed a, what's the opposite of the hook? I needed a fanfare. Anyway.
The hook, I don't know. Anyway, I cleaned my desk this week. This is a monumental thing. I'm one of these people who, if you looked at my workspace, you would say, what is he thinking? But I do think, and I know where everything is, even though it doesn't look that way. I discovered a small pile of recipes that I have saved, either because they enticed me in a magazine or whatever, and also some notes of my own about recipes that I make. It looks like this one here was made when I was being very conscious of calories and carbohydrates, because I noted the number of calories. This is in a cheese souffle. I broke it down and figured out that the whole souffle, including butter and cheese, fattening ingredients, the whole souffle was 1,137 calories. So that's not bad. If I had that for dinner, 600 calories in a salad, pretty good. Anyway, what I also found were some directions, which I need to be reminded of every once in a while, for cooking basmati rice, because I bought this brand, Jyoti. I spell it because who knows how to pronounce it. Yoti, Jyoti, I don't know. And it's one of these natural foods type company, Indian companies. Most of their products are either gluten-free, vegetarian, non-GMO, no BPA, what the hell? And I followed their directions for making it. And it says, I love this direction, please use 1 3/4 of a cup of water per cup of rice. And if time permits, soak the rice for 10 minutes in the water that you're going to cook it in. And then bring it to a boil on high heat. Reduce the heat to very low. And they put very low in capital letters. Really, it should just like, you know, just the bubble should just break the surface. Loosely cover the pot and let it cook until the water is all gone. They make a big point in these directions that you will not have any excess water to drain off. And what you're draining off besides the water at that point is vitamins and minerals. So you don't want to do that. It's a waste, of course, of vitamins and minerals. So let it, once it's done, which should take 15 to 20 minutes, let it sit for a little while, and then you can do with it what you like. Just eat it the way it is. I certainly like it with butter. I always remember this. This is 50 years ago. I have to look up when Lata Lenya died, but Lata Lenya, I loved Lata Lenya. That's all I can say. If you don't remember her many roles, the one you will remember is she was the villainess, the Russian villainess in Dr. No, one of the early Bond movies. She did other things, many other things. Oh, she was also in one of my favorite movies, The Roman Spring of Mrs. Stone. And in it, Lata Lenya played a procurer, I mean, a woman who got young men for older women, older rich women. And she drank Negronis throughout maybe I just watched the movie again. It's not exactly throughout the movie, but she drank Negronis. I'd never heard of a Negroni until then, early 1960s. And by the way, Vivian Leigh is Mrs. Stone in this movie, and it's a story by Tennessee Williams, so you know it's a little bit edgy. Anyway, he drank Negronis, which is what got me into Negronis way back when. I still drink Negronis, but I'm very particular about them these days. Not so much then. Anyway, back to, I don't know, where did I start? Basmati rice. If you see this brand, JYOTI, I would buy it and try that bundle. You're right. Now, in this pile of recipes, etc., was one that I'm going to make it again very soon. I made it once. This is a recipe that was, let me see, where was it? It looks like it was in the New York Times. Oh yeah, it was in the New York Times, March 23rd, 2014. But I discovered it at a friend's house. She saw it in the paper. She wanted to make it. She did. We ate it. It was wonderful. So I don't know why I ended up with the actual page from the magazine, but I did, and it's called Richia Zimmern's. This is Andrew Zimmern. You know Andrew Zimmern on TV? He does, I must say, one of the only food shows that I watch. He goes to different cities around the world and does there. That's one of the several shows he does. Anyway, he's on food TV, and he's, I think, a very engaging guy, and he's a New Yorker. And this, I think, is his mother's recipe. I'm looking. I don't even remember. But this, anyway, he makes this. It's chicken thighs, which you flour, salt, pepper, of course, and brown in some butter. And then you add shallots. Now, I'm into shallots lately because, well, because. But this is a shallot dish, basically. It's chicken thighs with shallots and a Dijon mustard tarragon sauce that is a pan sauce. You just make it in the same pan. And then it's finished off with cherry tomatoes. So you brown the chicken, and as it gets brown, it takes about, I always think, about 8 minutes, 6 or 7 on the skin side and maybe 2 minutes on the other side, and then take that out of the pan, set it aside. Now, the shallots, you need at least a dozen shallots. Depends, of course, on the size of the shallots. The other day I bought shallots and they all seemed to be pretty big, so 12 would have been more than enough, but sometimes they're pretty small, in which case maybe 15 is more appropriate. So you peel the shallots and saute them in the now in the pan butter and chicken fat that that was there for browning the chicken, and let them cook, saute them for a good 10 minutes until they start getting tender. Then you can deglaze the pan. That means put in a liquid and scrape up the goodies from the bottom. With a large one. In this case, you're going to deglaze with some wine. And you need a substantial amount, a couple of cups of dry white wine. And you let that simmer a few minutes, letting it reduce a little bit, burn off some of the alcohol from wine. And then you're going to add some seasoning, which is 2 tablespoons, I would say round tablespoons of Dijon mustard. And if you don't have fresh tarragon, well, if you have fresh tarragon, which you probably don't, add a couple sprigs. But I like dried tarragon, so I would say a good rounded teaspoon of dry tarragon, which you crumble in your fingertips, and you put that in there. Now put the chicken back in the pot, the thighs, skin side up, cover the pot, and turn the heat to very low, and let it simmer another 30 minutes. This is a classic, as the French call it, chicken sauté, where you brown the chicken, add a liquid, let it braise, meaning cook in liquid, for a while. And then at the end, after it's cooked for, let's say, 20 minutes, add your cherry tomatoes, which, a box of cherry tomatoes. I have, by the way, been finding a very good cherry tomatoes at a very good price at my market. So I've been using them a lot. I make the tomato sauce with them, nice fresh cherry tomato sauce, sometimes with capers and olives. I make a raw sauce. And in fact, Oh, so anyway, let me just finish up with this dish, which is very good. If by the way, you subscribe to the New York Times cooking website, I'm sure you'll find it there. Chicken with shallots, a very good dish, very easy. You can reheat it very easily too. So I saved that recipe. I saved the actual whole here, whole page from in the paper. Here's something else I saved a whole page from, and this is something I do on my own, but I found a recipe, which I clipped, for spiced beef topping for hummus. I'm sure I've mentioned this before. We like for dinner sometimes to have hummus topped with whatever. The whatever is either this ground meat topping or mushrooms. I love it with sauteed mushrooms. And the mushrooms I season very similarly to the spiced beef topping that I found. And I think this is an old issue of Milk Street, which is a magazine. Anyway, in this case, I've made this very version of it, which is why I clipped it. For half a pound of meat, by the way, that this is going to be more than enough for two people. I would say it's more like for three or four people. Of course, it depends on how much hummus you put on. Anyway, for half a pound of meat, you're going to saute this meat in a 10-inch skillet along with this seasoning. 2 teaspoons of paprika. I use sweet paprika. 3/4 of a teaspoon of salt. A half a teaspoon of cinnamon. Very Middle Eastern, of course. A half teaspoon of ground cumin. A half a teaspoon, I would say a little more, of dried oregano. Garlic. It's up to you. 1 clove, 2 cloves, it's up to you. And then you're going to need a little liquid. So I just use water, be honest with you. And I need onion and a little oil. So I saute the meat in a little bit of olive oil. I mean, really, if you're doing it in a non-stick skillet, you don't even need the oil. With at least, I would say, a 1 cup of finely minced onion. I don't want the onion to be super tender, so I would throw it in at the same time as the meat. And then you're going to finish it off with a couple tablespoons of tomato paste. You know, I buy tomato paste in the tube, so I always have that tube in the door of the refrigerator, and I just squeeze a little bit into the pan, a couple tablespoons in this case, and then a few tablespoons of water to dissolve that, and let it cook. That's it. You want to add an herb, you can add some chopped parsley, chopped basil, chopped mint is very good, or even dried mint is very good. And to zip it up just a little bit at the very end, when you serve it, squeeze some lemon over it. Or you can make a little tahini dressing to drizzle over it, but I don't bother. I just going on to the hummus, which already has tahini, is enough tahini for me. But this makes a really good meal with meat, or it could be a vegetarian meal if you do this, pretty much the same thing, but with sliced mushrooms. I happen to love the sliced mushroom version of it too. What else did I find? I found, now this is something that's going around. Ricotta, fluffy ricotta pancakes. I first had them in a literally around the corner from me, which no longer serves brunch, so they no longer serve these pancakes. But the chef owner, her name is Erin, Erin shared her recipe with me. It was only after I made her recipe, which, by the way, it was delicious, but didn't come out as good as when she makes it. Sometimes that's the case, but I'll tell you a reason, one reason why, maybe. But anyway, since then, I've seen a recipe for fluffy ricotta pancakes everywhere. So if this intrigues you, they're thick and fluffy, moist pancakes. Her recipe calls for a half a cup of, this is to make just two 6-inch pancakes. Her original recipe called for 4 pancakes, and I have the recipe, but I exactly halved it, so I'm not sure why it came out not quite as good as hers, but I'll give you hers and you can have it if you want. A cup of flour, this is for 4 6-inch pancakes, 1 cup of flour, 2 teaspoons of baking soda, I'm sorry, baking powder, a teaspoon of salt, a third of a cup of, plus 2 tablespoons of sugar, the lemon zest. Now, you need quite a lot. So I would say the lemon zest from 2 lemons, and a container of ricotta, which mostly contains 13 and a half ounces, and then 6 eggs. You're going to separate them, yolks and whites. And you're going to need a teaspoon of cream of tartar for the egg whites. So mix all together, the flour, baking powder, salt, sugar, all the dry ingredients. Now, Erin tells you to actually make your own lemon sugar, but I'm just telling you, zest 2 lemons into the dry ingredients. Into that, you're going to put the wet ingredients, which are the whole container of ricotta and 6 egg yolks. Mix it up very well, stir it into the dry ingredients, and beat the 6 egg whites with the little cream of tartar until they hold stiff peaks. You fold the egg whites into the batter, and they go on in a 6-inch skillet. This is why I said it makes 4 6-inch pancakes. Each pancake is in a small skillet. If it's a no-stick skillet, you probably don't have to put any butter in it. Otherwise, I would put a sliver of butter in the pan first, and let the pancake cook until it's lightly brown on the bottom, and then flip it over and let it brown on the other side, and that's it. I like them with butter. You can have them with maple syrup, but or whatever you like. Actually, it's very good with fruit compote. I'm trying to remember how Aaron served them, but it's a while since I've been there for brunch. They don't do brunch anymore. Anyway, what else did I find? I found, and actually, this is something for the summer, because I talk about it always in the summer. But is what I call crudeola, raw sauce for pasta. And you can do anything you want, but this is the little formula I found in my pile of recipes. A half a cup of minced celery, a half a cup of minced whatever you want, onion, scallion, or shallot, quite a lot, I know. And it could be a third of a cup. A generous cup, I would say a whole container, pint container actually, of cherry tomatoes, which, depending on their size, well, they could be grape tomatoes, all these little tomatoes. And depending on the size, I either halve them or quarter them. I rarely have to six them, but I do want a small dice for this. And 1 large clove of garlic, finely minced. And if you can get a hold of it this time of the year, some nice fresh basil. I'd like a whole cup of basil. If you can't find basil, then I would do this with either mint or parsley or a combination of the two. But you want a good cup of greenery, salt and pepper. You mix all this. Oh, you mix all this together with enough extra virgin olive oil to more or less cover it, and let it sit. You do that in the morning and have it in the afternoon or evening, but I do like to let it sit for a few hours, and that's my crudeola. What is different about mine from others you will see is that I put celery in mine, and I love the little crunch of the celery. What pasta do you use? You can do this with spaghetti, but I like penne with, some kind of small tubular pasta, so the little bits of whatever get caught up in the tube. Now, here's the recipe that is haunting me, because I said I was going to make it the other day, and I didn't, and I've been trying to make this for years, it looks like, and I never get around to it. And it's for a what looks like an extremely good tartar sauce. Now, as a household that loves mayonnaise and tartar sauce, I don't know how I've been able to resist making this. It's from a famous chef. It appeared in the New York Times a number of years ago, and it was tartar sauce to go with her fried oysters. I would love to have some fried oysters with tartar sauce, but I'm not frying them myself. So let me just give you the tartar sauce. And what I will do is I will get some nice fish to fry, and we'll have it with fried fish. We can even have it, I guess, with broiled fish. But anyway, here's the tartar sauce. One garlic clove. I always go for the big ones. Two small shallots. Two tablespoons plus 2 teaspoons of capers. Now, not I always in my cooking use salted capers, but in this case, it's those tiny nonpareil capers that come in a vinegar. So those are the ones you want to buy. And also you want to buy cornichon, which are tiny pickles, also in vinegar, not sweet gherkins, but sour cornichon, French style little pickles. You're gonna need eight of
You're gonna need
those.
8 of those.
Now you need a shy
Now you
cup of
need a shy cup.
mayonnaise. I don't know why shy, but anyway, I won't fuss with it. And a third of a cup of sour cream and the juice of a half a lemon. And you beat that all together, the mayonnaise, sour cream, the lemon juice, and then add your minced shallot, your minced cornichon, the whole deal, including the parsley. What there isn't in here, and that I might have, especially if I bought a little tarragon to make something else, I would use some fresh tarragon. But anyway, that's it. And you want a nice rounded tablespoon of finely minced parsley. That's where I would put, not so much, but that's where I would put the tarragon. But I only do, pickle relish, the easy way. Pickled relish, minced shallot, and mayonnaise. That's my tartar sauce. But I don't do it very often because I don't make things appropriate to tartar sauce very often. Anyway, so that's what I found in my pile on my desk. Not much else. It was a lot of paper that I was able to throw away. I love throwing away paper. And we're going to a paperless society. I have to keep telling Bob that. He's Mr. Paper. He has to print out everything. And that's it. And I actually, my pile is quite small here because when I see a recipe online that I'm interested in, I don't print it out. I have it in my favorites or whatever, someplace where I'll someday find it again. Anyway, that's,
Someday.
yeah, someday. Anyway, that's all. That's all. It's a rainy day here. I expect it to rain all week, but we're having an early April, I think, which is fine with
Oh, there
me.
you go.
Pardon me?
I'm just thinking early April. April showers bring May flowers, but again, it
Well,
all
here we
depends
are.
on
Well, we already have
whatever.
flowers in Park Slope. The bulbs are already up. Snowbells, the crocuses. There are even daffodils budding up. All the tulip greens are up. A lot of things are coming up already. And as I may have pointed out, maybe not to you, I look at a magnolia tree right out my kitchen window, and that's one of the first things to green up. And it's already getting like that haze of green over it, the spring haze. Ah, and we have this magnificent weeping willow in the neighborhood. It's always the first thing to green up and the last thing to die back, and it's already greened up. Yeah, there you go.
Right on time. It's called St. Patrick's Day.
So I think we're on time, so I can say have a great week, everybody. Stay out of the rain. And save your recipes.
And I can say thank you very much. And this has been Arthur Schwartz, the Food Mensch on Robinhood Radio.